I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The way I see it is we couldn't have asked for a more exciting situation. We're playing our rival, and we're playing it for playoff implications. You really can't write it any better than that. So our goal is to go in and play our best football like we always do.
The voice of defensive lineman Akeem Hicks. He was not part of the first matchup between the Bears and Packers at Lambeau Field earlier this season, the game that got away from the Bears early. He's there this time around when they're playing for everything on the line Sunday. The Bears need a win to make the playoffs. Yes, they could also get in if Arizona loses, but you can't count on that. You can take care of business against a Packers team that's missing one of its best players, with David Bakhtiari out for the year with a knee injury. Zach Zaveman with you until 4 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We want you to be a part of the show as well, and you can at 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. All right, let's get a national perspective on Bears-Packers coming Sunday along the late front. And joining us now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline is NFL Network Stacy Dales, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Good afternoon. Happy New Year, Stacy. Thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year, Zach, and to all of your listeners. We got snow in Chicago, and we got the Packers in town, so it's got to be a good week 17, right?
Yeah, all we're missing is for this snow to arrive again on Sunday. Because if we get that, then it's the ultimate Bears-Packers playoff showdown. We had a lot of news, Stacey, over the last 24 hours for both teams. You know, we found out that for the Bears, the secondary, again, going to be without Jalen Johnson, the standout rookie cornerback and the nickelback Buster Skrin. But the bigger news, the injury report out of Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, this is huge. And, you know, I tweeted yesterday, could 2020 not just end and let's get out of this thing? Like, for him to go down in a non-contact David Bakhtiari injury and tear his ACL, which I've done in my life. I was a freshman in college playing basketball, and, it's no fun, and especially to see the kind of season he's had. He's an all-pro for good measure. And, the good news for them is they've had a pretty good offensive line this year. In fact, you know, Matt LaFleur, their head coach, saying the best that he's been a part of and that he's coached. So you think that they'll retool, but it's just tough when you lose your blindside protector for Aaron Rodgers.
And it's Aaron Rodgers, though. So, yes, it's a loss, but if there's any quarterback that can still make a defense pay, even when he doesn't have his best weapons around him, it's Aaron Rodgers. And you know the history between the Bears and Packers, but specifically the history with the Bears and Packers during the Aaron Rodgers era. He's 19-5 against them in regular season action, and I'm not even counting what transpired in the NFC Championship game in 2010. Why haven't they been able to slow this guy down?
You know, I just think it's hard for a lot of teams to be able to do it. And, you know, in the past five seasons specifically, 7-1 Rodgers is against the Bears. And, you know, the numbers are off the charts for this guy this year. He's just so incredibly efficient. Sometimes I look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers. I look at the UConn women's basketball team. I look at, you know, when Tim Duncan was with the Spurs. sometimes they win before they step onto the court or the field because of the name on the jersey. And then you add Rodgers to the back of the Packers jersey. And this has been such a tall order for the Chicago Bears. And hearing from their coaches this week, Chuck Pagano, the defensive coordinator, man, you got to bring a bazooka against this guy, Pagano told me, because he's just playing. Not only does he always play well, he's playing especially well this year. For this team to lead the National Football League in time of possession, Zach, you and I have covered football for a long time, and people can say, well, time of possession doesn't matter. They have the ball every game on average just over 33 minutes. And that's how they defeated Derrick Henry last week. And then with the run game, the three running backs in the rookie Dylan, Jamal Williams, who's back this week practicing, and he'll be playing in this game, and then Aaron Jones, the Pro Bowler. With that run game married to the play action, Rodgers tweaking the offense heading into year two with Matt LaFleur, they had just been unstoppable. They're together, they're tight, they're focused, but the Bears are juiced up. I really think this is going to be an incredible game. I'm really sad, though I understand why we can't have fans, but wow, you better be glued to your TV screen on Sunday afternoon at 3:30, starting at 3:30 local.
NFL Network Stacey Dales with us breaking down Bears-Packers Sunday at Soldier Field. Bears need a win to get into the playoffs. Packers need a win to clinch the number one seed in the NFC, which means home field advantage, and only the top seed gets that this year, so it's even more valuable than in years gone by. So you mentioned the Bears being juiced. Are you buying this resurgence that the Bears have had offensively over the last month?
I am, to the degree that they're winning the games they're supposed to decidedly, right? So the last three games they've faced Houston, they've gone to Minnesota, and they've gone to Jacksonville. Minnesota can score. So that was, I expected Kirk Cousins and company to be able to score a little bit. But in those other two games, they have been blowouts, essentially, and you expected them to be. So I do think things are coming together for this football team. This is the ultimate test. You're going to face the number seven defense in football in terms of the yards they gave up. They give up this season and in the Packers. And, they're steadfastly improving under Mike Pettine, their defensive coordinator. They're getting to the ball, all 11 hats. We always hear that cliche, but they were just so good against Derrick Henry this past weekend, which they consider their measuring stick game. And now they'll have back-to-back, because I do think the Bears, Zach, are playing better football. Trubisky has been impressive. Nobody uses play action on dropbacks more in the National Football League this season than Mitch Trubisky. He's 6-2 as a starter. He's got confidence right now in hearing from him this week. And I think that permeates the entire team. I think they're really focused. I think this is going to be a close one on Sunday.
You have a unique perspective on this from your days, both as a star college athlete and as a professional. What does it say about someone that's been in Mitchell Trubisky's position where you get benched? And a lot of times when that happens, people tune out everything that's happening around and you kind of sulk. Not only did he not sulk, he put himself in a position mentally and physically that if he got another opportunity, he'd be able to take advantage of it. That has to win over a locker room.
There's no question. I think these guys are galvanized around him. When he retook over this offense back in week 12 against the Packers, that offensive line came together. And I really believe that offensive linemen, everybody wants to play well. And you and I have had this conversation before, Zach. But I really think when linemen respect and appreciate the quarterback and how hard the quarterback works, they go that little extra distance for them. And so when I look at the Bears right now, I feel like Leno and Whitehair and Mustafa has done fantastically taking over this year in the middle. And Bars and, Big G, they call him a Fetty. I think they're playing hard for Mitch, and you love to see it. They're also playing hard because they have a run game. When you want to win in the National Football League, you must have a run game. But I say all of that and go back to what you just asked me. And with Trubisky, I just think he was pushed to the test. You love stories like this. When players, male, female, rise to the occasion, they rise to the challenge and the adversity. And I also like the ownership, Zach, that he has taken. He's been more vocal, according to those I've spoken with, about what plays he wants. What makes me comfortable in the pocket? and therefore makes this offense successful. I mentioned the play action, the boots, you know, the handoff to David Montgomery, using him a little bit more out of the backfield. And, you know, we'll hope to see Cole Kmet healthy coming into this game. He's got a bit of a shoulder issue, but getting him more involved. And then, of course, Allen Robinson just continues to be vastly underrated in this league at what he can do on the perimeter. He's just so reliable, I would use, is the word for him. But I love the leadership that Mitch Trubisky has shown, and I'm really excited and happy for him. You always root for players who are not only good on the field and in the locker room, but they're good people, and I really feel like Mitch Trubisky is a good person, so it's great to see it.
I'm fascinated by the dynamic, Stacey, of a guy that for 4 years no one was quite sure what he was. And now over the course of four games, you're starting to believe, well, maybe that talent that you thought was initially there is finally coming to fruition. And yet throughout all of that, there's this one game. Now, he's been in the league for 4 years. There's this one game on Sunday. For the Bears to win it, he's probably going to have to play the best game of his life. And if that happens, so much is on the line for him at the end of this season, whenever it ends, if he has a good performance in a game that sends the team to the playoffs.
You're giving me goosebumps over here, my friend. I mean, it's a fairy tale, right? They go into the playoffs. What if they run the table? I mean, it's crazy. Here's what I'll say. Sometimes in life, no matter if we're a professional athlete or, you know, in any profession we do, when everything is stripped of you and everything's taken away, what have you got to lose? I just don't, Zach, sense any pressure that he feels. I just don't. He was stripped of his team. He was stripped of the starting role. He went through the whirlwind with Nick Foles. I mean, that was a fiasco. If you don't think it was, and you weren't on some of those Zoom calls, I mean, rethink that, because it was an absolute fiasco. And he earns back the starting role, and now he has overtaken it and sort of dethroned any idea that this should not be his football team. And he always, in pressers, he always says, my guys. Well, he truly cares and believes this is his football team. So it would be a fairy tale ending. And when you do have everything stripped from you in life, what else have you got to lose? I really believe Trubisky is going into this game without pressure, without worry, without fear. And he could very well rise to the occasion. We'll see.
Because he already thought that he was done as a player with the Bears as a starting quarterback in the league. So, yeah, there's a lot to be said for the way you've kind of analyzed his mental approach heading into this game against the Packers. Stacey Dales is with us from NFL Network. I want to flip to the other side and talk about Green Bay, because they have a quarterback playing with a chip on his shoulder, too. And it started on draft night when Jordan Love was picked by the Packers in the first round. And at the time, people were saying, well, I don't understand. You have the greatest wide receiver draft that the NFL has ever had, and you don't take a wide receiver to help him out. Devontae Adams said early on in the season, you know what? I'm the best wide receiver in the NFL, and people roll their eyes. Well, he's in the conversation, no doubt about it, right now as we approach the end of this season. Rodgers is in the MVP conversation. Is it too simple to say that picking Jordan Love first was the catalyst that inspired these guys? Or is it more than that? Year two in this system, having healthy guys around him, including Devontae Adams, that's led to the Packers playing at this extremely high level?
I think it's a combination of all of it, Zach. Rodgers, first of all, has been absolutely fascinating this year. I mean, his Zoom call, yes, on Wednesday, it went 20 minutes. Like, he has been a storyteller. He's been in, you know, this really groove of kind of groove mood. Like, he's just so happy and joyous, and it was reflective of his play and his performance. I mean, he's shattering his own efficiency in his previous two MVP seasons. I mean, this is his most efficient campaign in comparison to those two MVPs, you know, nearly a decade ago. So when you think about Rodgers this year, I asked him a couple weeks ago, how much fun are you having? And he's like, I'm having a lot of fun. And when you're winning, it helps. But there was something that shifted, basically, he said, as I paraphrase, when the pandemic hit. And then, of course, you mentioned the Jordan Love pick. he hasn't gone into that a whole lot. I mean, he'll tell you that's not what motivates me. But when you turn 37, as he just did, and you've got now this guy that's being groomed behind you, and you did not, not only did you not draft a top receiver in the draft, but you didn't even draft a receiver. I mean, right. Think about it. It's like, okay, you know, Aaron, put your cape back on because you're going to have to go out and do it again. But that's where the second year with this offense comes into play. Now you have guys like Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown. They're all still very young. And then you have what I consider the best receiver in the league this year in Davante Adams. I haven't seen him play at such a level, and he always plays well. He is an absolute technician route runner. For anybody trying to learn how to run a route, for young players out there, this is the guy to watch this season. His hands have been spectacular. He's physical. He's finesse. Which one do you want? I mean, he does everything. So the year two in the offense, tweaking things, for Rodgers to say to his head coach Matt LaFleur and Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, nah, I don't like that. We did that last year. I don't like that. And then they just throw it in the trash. That's the communication they have. It's seamless, and it's certainly been fun to watch. I mean, they're putting up the points. The product speaks for itself. I mentioned time of possession. They lead the NFL. They're tops in red zone, which, you know, means that you take care of business when you need to. I mean, the number one scoring offense currently in football, the Green Bay Packers, they've been fantastic on third downs. That speaks to efficiency. There's just a lot to like if you're a Packers fan. And if you're a Bears fan getting ready for this week, you better hope that your team, your defense, brings it and gives him some different looks and mixes some coverages. And, you know, Chuck Pagano talked about yesterday, Zach, how to defend this guy, Rodgers. So difficult. You want the pressure, but you really want pressure up the middle. And you want to, you know, obviously try to keep a guy like Aaron Rodgers contained in the pocket, but you need that pressure still. So we'll see if they can muster some up the middle and shut down this run game. This run game is outstanding. It's underrated in the NFL. And you just saw what A.J. Dillon did. I mean, over 100 yards on the ground against the Tennessee Titans. So we'll see on Sunday.
Yeah, they're hoping Akeem Hicks being back in the lineup for Game 2. He wasn't there at Lambeau Field with a hamstring injury. Game 2 makes a difference come Sunday. I just think the Bears need their offense to perform at a level that we have not seen against playoff caliber teams, you know, because Rodgers has done this. He's done this to Brian Urlacher's defenses. He's done this to Khalil Mack defenses. He's done it to Lovie Smith and Rod Marinelli, Vic Fangio and Chuck Pagano. It's the lack of a Bears offense. They have to have that complementary element in order to win. And they've never had the kind of offense that we've seen over the last four games. The thing that I wrestle with, I just don't know if that's realistic against Green Bay, if the Bears can continue to perform that way against a top-10 defense. And that's what Green Bay is putting on the field Sunday.
Yeah, and they've gotten markedly better over the last month or so. This is very simple, Zach, and you just said it. I mean, if you want to beat Aaron Rodgers, you've got to outscore the Packers. You just have to. So you better be ready. You need to put up 30 points so that the Bears are good. And listen, yeah, they've averaged 37 over the last three games, 30-plus over the last four, outside of that loss against Detroit, which was a real bad one and a real stunner. Mm-hmm. You have to outscore Aaron Rodgers, and you better be prepared to use up the clock and, you know, march down the field and keep the football in your possession. So I really expect, you know, David Montgomery to have a big day. Going to be tough. I mean, this is a really good defensive front. And again, they're getting better and better and better. It's not just the Smiths and Preston and Zadarius. Rashawn Gary's had a much better year now in year two. Guys like Dean Lowry, you know, with this group have been really effective. The linebackers have gotten better. Kiki Kingsley up front. Kenny Clark is a monster in the middle. So it's a tough defense, and they're getting better. But you got to put up some points, Chicago, and you've got to use the clock, because the thing about Rodgers this year, I mean, when I go back to that Tennessee game, Zach, they had the football 14 more minutes than the Titans did. And the Titans came into the game with the number one scoring offense in football. Guess who was number two at the time? The Packers.
Right.
14 more minutes. So So if you're Derrick Henry in 20 degree temperatures sitting over there on the sidelines, it ain't no fun, right? Like this ain't a good party to be at. So you don't want to be David Montgomery standing and watching Aaron Rodgers completely manipulate the football game by just being efficient and marching down the field, but taking up that clock. So to me, that's going to be huge. And then the turnovers, right? Aaron Rodgers doesn't turn the football over. The difference, you always go back and look. Trubisky had 3 turnovers in week 12 against Green Bay. So if you hand the ball to Rodgers, it's game over. So you got to take care of the football. You got to use the clock, and you've got to outscore him, to me, offensively.
Yeah, I think the Bears' best defense against Aaron Rodgers is actually the Bears' offense to flip that time of possession deal around. Because if he's on the field, chances are he's going to put touchdowns on the board. They're not just going to settle for field goals. So that's why if he's off the field, you just limit the number of damaging things he can do to you. Before we let you go, Stacey, and I appreciate the time. Thank you so much. What about Snacks Harrison? What are they saying about him in Green Bay? They claimed him off of waivers earlier this week. Is there a possibility that he'll be on the field against the Bears?
Yeah, there is. I mean, he was in the building. When we talked to Matt LaFleur on Wednesday, he was in the facility. He brings a veteran savvy to that front. Just adding fuel to the fire, right? I mean, he knows the Bears. He spent 2018 to 2019 in Detroit with the Lions. So he's very familiar with the opponent. But for LaFleur, he does have the potential to play, but it's all about can they get him up to speed with how they want to do things and how they want to run things. That'll be the difference. But there's no question. I mean, to get a guy who has been an impact type player in the NFL, obviously wasn't happy in Seattle. Now on your roster, it only adds when you think about Kenny Clark and company up front. And we heard from Clark this week, and he said, I can't wait to learn from Snacks Harrison. So We'll see. Just another piece. But you mentioned one thing, though, Zach. I can't wait to see Akeem Hicks on the field against the Packers this time around. So when you talk about, the guys up front, forget about Snacks Harrison. I can't wait to see Akeem Hicks healthy and how he attacks Aaron Rodgers in this front because, Rodgers was asked about Chicago's defense this week. And, they're well aware that Akeem was not on the field because he is an absolute difference maker when he's out there. Just a beast and a load, especially in the middle defensively. So I think it'll have we'll have a little bit of a different look come Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, both teams are a little different because of injuries and play over the last month of the regular season. Stacey, thank you so much. We'll be watching your reports from Soldier Field all weekend long on NFL Network.
You're the best, Zach. Have a great weekend. Happy New Year.
Right back at you. Stacey Dales talking Bears-Packers with us. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to hear your take on what's at stake Sunday. Obviously, we know the playoffs are at stake for the Bears. But has your opinion of Mitchell Trubisky changed from what you've seen over the last month of the regular season? 312-644-6767 at 3:40. We'll talk Northwestern. They are up big in the Citrus Bowl, and we'll get a little bit of a Bears preview from the Athletic.com's Kevin Fishbane. But immediately ahead, your phone calls on Bears, Packers, and Mitchell Trubisky next. Zach Zaidman with you until 4:00 on The Score. Talking Bears Packers on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman with you until 4:00. I want you to join me at 312-644-6767. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll break down what appears to be a Northwestern victory in the Citrus Bowl. Late fourth quarter, it is all Wildcats. They lead Auburn 35-19, wrapping up just a phenomenal season for Pat Fitzgerald and company, and we'll talk about that with Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic in about 10 minutes from now. But before we went to the break, I posed the question, it didn't look for nearly 4 years like Mitchell Trubisky was ever going to be a part of the solution for the Bears. He was nowhere near the kind of player the Bears thought they were getting when they drafted him. And I'm not going to look at this unrealistically. there's no way that four games, and the last four games have been fantastic, Bears averaging 35 points per game. There is no way that the last four games make up for the last 4 years. But there's something here. He's being used right. He's taking advantage of the way he's being used. And we've seen the Bears offense perform in a way that many of you listening right now have never seen. And I know it's against some of the worst defenses in the NFL this season. But that's the intrigue. Now let's see if they're able to take this and transfer it over to one of the best teams in the NFL in Green Bay. Because if it does transfer over, the Bears are going to be playing postseason football. And then you're going to be looking at Mitchell Trubisky and this offense in a completely different way. And at that point, I know, again, now we'd be talking about five games. But at that point, you can't just say, cut the cord and move away and find someone else to play quarterback for you. But that also doesn't mean that you lock this guy up to a long-term deal. But if the Bears win, and the only way they'll win is if Trubisky plays well, they win Sunday and are in the postseason, regardless of how it goes in the playoffs, I'm not willing to say goodbye just yet. I think you have to make sure that what we saw to close out the 2020 season is something that can continue. And if you're not 100% certain, and I don't think anyone would be, that he is the long-term answer at the position, don't sign him to a long-term deal, but make sure you don't lose him this offseason. Is that a crazy thought? What do you guys think? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It might involve having to use the franchise tag. And yes, the Bears have salary cap issues, but you know what? If you actually find yourself a quarterback, you can deal with the ramifications. And I would not be willing to say goodbye just yet if he goes out and plays the way he has over the last four games for a fifth consecutive game against the Green Bay Packers. 312-644-6767. After the phones we go. Jim in Beecher, you're on the Score. Hi, Jim.
How you doing, Zach? Love your show, man. Really, really good.
Thank you. Appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Here's my. Here's what I'm seeing. A two-tiered problem issue for the Bear franchise. Number one, if Ryan Pace is allowed to make the quarterback decision during this coming offseason, in my opinion, and I agree with Lawrence Holmes, it's going to set the Bear franchise back even further than those 7 years based on that mistake in 2017. And the second issue is, well, if they get rid of Pace and they let him go, George McCaskey has not shown that he knows how to vet a candidate for the GM job who's going to be well above average in what he does on his job. So both issues, to me, don't bode well for the Bear franchise. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. And there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. I would just think that I'm looking at this realistically. You know, if the Bears finish the season with a loss to Green Bay, I don't think Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy are getting fired. And I'm just looking at the reality of the situation in that the way they got the team to respond, the team was left for dead after they lost to Detroit six in a row. And they came back and gave you meaningful games at the tail end of the regular season. So I think in large part because of the pandemic, and that does influence some of the financial decisions that you make, because of the way that the offense was able to flip it around. And they didn't settle. They actually found a way to give some life to their season after we thought everything was over. There's something to be said for that. So I think they're going to be back. They are going to have to find a new quarterback. Your starter may be Nick Foles next season if Trubisky goes elsewhere at the end of the year. I'm not willing to cut the cord just yet because I don't think where they're going to be picking draft-wise, what's available in free agency, I don't think there are any long-term solutions. This is very different than what Ryan Pace did prior to the start of the 2017 season. He had the right approach. You know, use free agency and the draft to tackle the problem. And he swung and missed mightily with Mike Glennon in free agency. And at least up until this last month, it appeared that he swung and missed mightily with Mitchell Trubisky. And even if Trubisky plays well, he didn't take the two best quarterbacks that were available when the Bears were on the clock in Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. And that's a big deal. However, I do think it's okay to either sign Mitchell Trubisky to a short-term deal or tag him. Find out if what we're seeing right now is realistic come next year. If the guy's really flipped it around, both from his play and the way the Bears call plays for him. Maybe they have flipped it around. I don't know. But I'm willing to take a flyer and not hurt myself long-term, but in the short-term, see if that can work. And do what the good teams do around the NFL. Continue to add quarterbacks to your roster, and maybe you strike gold developing one. You know, I like what New Orleans has been doing. You know, they have a starter in Drew Brees. You don't know how much longer he's going to be there, but every year they take a flyer on somebody else, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater, whether it's Jameis Winston, they have Taysom Hill. They think he's going to be the answer. If he's not, you protect yourself at the position. What Green Bay did, drafting Jordan Love. I don't understand why the Bears, when they add a new quarterback to the mix, never bring in competition for that guy. There was never competition for Jay Cutler. Never. And even when the backup outperformed him, like Josh McCown did in 2013, the Bears immediately benched that guy for Cutler and then ended up locking him up long term. That's what you don't want to do. When you're not sure if the guy really is the answer, and then you sign him to a long-term deal. I think you can learn a lot from the Washington approach. They were never quite sure if Kirk Cousins was the answer. They didn't think he was, but they knew at the time they couldn't find anything better. So they franchised him. They franchised him again. And I don't have a problem doing that with Trubisky. Let him prove you wrong. Let him have to deal with some competition. There's nothing wrong with that. Competition this year brought out the best in Mitchell Trubisky after he was benched. So that would be my attitude on that thing. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Back out to the phones we go. Daryl in Virginia, you're on the score. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, Zach. I have one thing. I have a couple of points I want to make about Aaron Rodgers and how the coaching staff have designed the offense a little different subtly to stop him from running around. He got destroyed last year. He was getting a lot of hits, and he didn't buy into the coaching staff's approach to try to run the ball more, pound you on defense, and he pick his spots. And so that's why they didn't draft a wide receiver, and that's why they drafted the quarterback, not to compete against Aaron, but to stop him from running around trying to make those circus plays all the time, and he would get hit. And that's why they drafted that fire plug Dylan. And they kind of showed that, Zach, when they wanted to try and be tougher. They pick up Snacks Harrison. They want to stop the run when they come to the playoffs, and they want to run the ball right now. And I don't think they want to they don't want to expose Rodgers that much this game to Khalil Mack and the pass rushers. That's how we beat them. You got to put hits on this guy. You got to disrupt the timing of Devontae Adams. They have that timing down and quick passes. That's what he wants to do. And that's their game plan, Zach. They want to run the ball.
Yeah, but you got to, in order to get after the quarterback, you have to earn the right to rush the passer. And thank you so much for the call. You earn the right to rush the passer by stopping the run. Bears didn't do it in that first game. If they don't do it Sunday, it's going to be really ugly at Soldier Field. By the way, this breaking news courtesy of Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. Saints star running back Alvin Kamara awaiting results of another COVID-19 test as part of the normal process after an initial positive test per source. If confirmed, Kamara would be out for Sunday's game against the Panthers and most likely a possible wild card playoff game too. Wow, that's big news out of New Orleans, potentially impacting what the Saints can do in the postseason regarding Alvin Kamara. Let's take a break. When we come back, Northwestern, a monster win in the Citrus Bowl, complete domination as the Wildcats win big, 35-19 against Auburn. We'll talk about it with Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic, plus break down a little Bears-Packers. That's ahead. Zach Zaidman with you until 4 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. As impressive an ending as you could have hoped if you're a Northwestern fan this afternoon, the Wildcats take the Citrus Bowl and they take it going away, crushing Auburn of the SEC by a final of 35-19. Hi, everyone. Zach Zaidman with you until 4 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I figured who better to break down this game with and also talk a little Bears-Packers than Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. And he joins us now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. I'm going to ask you to put away the journalistic integrity that you bring to the table every time you talk Bears-Packers and allow you, Kevin, to wax poetic about your alma mater on this New Year's Day, because that was a whale of a performance.
Thank you, Zach, and Happy New Year to you. And it's an incredible way to start 2021, I'll say. I'm sure the narrative will be out there that Auburn didn't really want to play, didn't mean a whole lot to them, but the Cats took it to them. It was an incredible team, an incredible season. Pat Fitzgerald, the way that they maneuvered, navigated this year with throughout COVID and everything, and no positive tests throughout the season. They win the West. They give Ohio State a run for their money, and they go to Orlando and really in the second half just beat Auburn pretty badly. It was fun to see. It's an incredible defense, and it was a team, Zach, that was missing a lot of players. They had multiple starters opt out before the season, including guys who can be a first round pick. They had multiple starters opt out before the bowl game. And they still put out an incredible performance, and credit to defensive coordinator Mike Hanko. It's really special to see the way the players and Fitz celebrated him 51 years in college football, 400 wins. That was I just tweeted out I was a junior there when he got hired, and he turned the defense around. I was talking to former Bear Corey Wooten the other day about the type of players that they started recruiting once Hankwitz got there on defense, and now you got guys who are going to be, who are in the NFL, and guys who are going to continue to go to the NFL, all from this Wildcat defense.
Was this the perfect storm? Northwestern becoming this kind of a football program. Was it the perfect storm of a head coach in Pat Fitzgerald who bleeds purple and understood because of his success as a player at Northwestern that it could be more than what the outside world thought of the Wildcats football program? Is it that combined with athletic director in Jim Phillips, who had a vision far greater than most people had for Northwestern? As a guy who knows the program the way you knew it when you were a student there to seeing it now, what do you credit for the transformation of the athletic program at Northwestern?
Yeah, well, I mean, Fitz is the perfect coach for that university. He knows what it takes to win there, and he knows that he can get a lot out of guys. We will never see Northwestern atop any recruiting rankings, maybe ever. But you see 2- and 3-star guys make it big. For Bears fans, Cher Hermanis is a perfect example of a guy who, as a freshman, he and I were freshmen the same year at Northwestern. He was a 2-star, I believe, and he started right away as a freshman and turned into a great college player, and is obviously still in the NFL. And Fitz understands that, and he understands the type of guys that they need to get and they need to target. And they've gone to they've done really well in Texas and Ohio in terms of recruiting, and obviously in the state here in Illinois. And I think Fitz would be the first to tell you, Zach, that Randy Walker, got them on this path too. The late Randy Walker, what he did in 2000 and then into 2003 through 2005, and then when Fitz took over, they were already in a good spot. But obviously Fitz has put them in a position where they are consistently contending for the Big Ten West Championship. And obviously there's still that hurdle. There's still that obstacle of Ohio State and being, talked about among those schools. And I don't know if that'll happen, if it'll be a one-year blip like we saw in 95, but they've obviously put themselves in position to just be there consistently. And they have one of the best facilities in the country right now there. And he's able to sell to these guys, hey, if you want to come here and you get to play Big Ten football, you get an incredible facility, and oh, by the way, you know, if you graduate here and they have an incredible graduation rate, you get a degree from Northwestern, which, you know, a little bias here, but Zach, I think that's a pretty cool thing to say.
Yeah, I think, and we're talking with Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. Northwestern, a huge win in the Citrus Bowl, blowout fashion over Auburn earlier today. With Jim Phillips leaving Northwestern now to take over as the commissioner of the ACC, if there ever was a time, if you're Pat Fitzgerald, to think about making that next step, one couldn't blame him if this was it. And he has said all along, and I think everyone believes him, that his dream college job is Northwestern. But if the NFL comes knocking, will that be difficult to turn down?
You know, it's something that he, I think, is going to have to think about, right? The NFL is the pinnacle of his profession. It is the top to be a head coach in the NFL. And I think it says an incredible amount about what he's done, that he's being talked about, that the Packers, you know, looked into talking to him a couple of years ago, and that you're seeing the rumors now. I just have said, and Zach, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago too, I think the Chicago Bears are the only team that he would leave Northwestern to go coach. And certainly the way things have gone the past month for Matt Nagy, I don't expect that job to be available. The other thing too is, I as much as Fitz has accomplished in Northwestern, he's always had big goals, and he was not necessarily satisfied with a, you know, quote unquote moral victory in the Big Ten championship. This is someone that wants to win the Big Ten championship. He wants to beat Ohio State. He wants Northwestern, as crazy it might sound, to be considered for the college football playoff one year. You know, and the way they play with Ohio State, you know, it tells you, hey, you know, maybe this isn't such a pipe dream. So I still am of the belief that this is somebody, in addition to being perfect for the university and having such a fitting job for what he's able to do, I think this is somebody that still has a lot he wants to accomplish. And I'm very interested to see who the new athletic director is. And I would imagine that Fitz will be, you know, I would hope, I should say, that he's kind of involved in that conversation because of what he means to that athletic program.
All right, I can't let you go without talking Bears Packers our final few moments with Kevin Fishbane, who covers the Bears for The Athletic. Why is Sunday going to be different than most of the Bears-Packers games with Aaron Rodgers on the field?
Well, it might not be different. I'll start there, Zach. You know, it might not be. There's one thing that's been kind of sticking in my mind as I think about this game in so many different ways is, maybe two or three times this year, we've had those games that Khalil Mack has just absolutely taken it over, right? And then you have Akeem Hicks, and you know he has the ability to do similar things in the interior. And then there's Robert Quinn. And you know, I think it's too far to say maybe he can do it because we haven't seen it all year. And then there's Eddie Jackson. You're just waiting for it, right? You're just waiting for him to get that pick six. There are so many things on the defensive side of the ball that, you know, you still, it's not that I'm expecting it to happen because all those things haven't really come together like they did so often in 2018. But those guys, those instincts, you don't lose those. You don't lose those instincts that those players have and the ability to potentially, you know, have one of those game-changing plays. The problem is that Aaron Rodgers is the most difficult one to do it against. So I think what you know, if you're a Bears fan hoping this is going to be different, you are banking on the stars playing like stars and find a way to change this game. And obviously in Green Bay, it was bad from the get-go for this group. But, you know, look, they're playing with a lot of confidence right now. Even though the defense hasn't played great during the stretch, they're playing with a lot of confidence. They certainly feel good about themselves. I just don't know how long it's going to last on Sunday afternoon with the first time Aaron Rodgers touches the football.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because the thing that I keep thinking about is looking at Rodgers' career against the Bears, and everyone knows the numbers, 19-5 during the regular season. That does not count what he did in the biggest win he's had against the Bears, the 2010 NFC Championship game. But the numbers are through the roof, 51 touchdowns, 10 picks, 105 passer rating. He's done it, whether Brian Urlacher has been on the field with his great defenses, whether Khalil Mack's been on the field with his great defenses, whether it's Lovie Smith, Rod Marinelli, Vic Fangio, Chuck Pagano. It's never been about the Bears' offense. And yet, it's the Bears' offense that I think can play the best defense against Aaron Rodgers. And we've never seen the Bears' offense under Mitchell Trubisky look as good as it has over the last month. Can any part of that transfer over against a playoff-level caliber opponent?
Well, I think the best thing for Mitch Trubisky and the Bears is to do that, it's going to be David Montgomery. I mean, if you can get Montgomery to run the way he has. That's going to open things up for Mr. Trubisky. It's going to make things easier for him. It's cliches, but it's true, Zach. And it's funny you mentioned Rodgers' record. So I would let people know to take a peek at The Athletic on Saturday. And I've got a story coming about that 2013 game. And that season finale that many Bears fans want to forget, the worst defense in Bears history coaxed two interceptions out of Aaron Rodgers that day. Now, it was his first game back from a collarbone injury. But what that night, Matt Forte went off in the second half. He had 110 yards rushing. He had two touchdowns. And that was a great offense. But I think you think about that game and you think about what getting Dave Montgomery touching the ball 25, 30 times, you know, the obvious of running the clock and keeping Rodgers off the field, but then it opens things up for Trubisky because you don't want a situation where Mitch is throwing the ball 40-plus times in the game. And the way the Bears have run the ball of late, you know, you might give you some hope that they can do that. And this is a Packers defense that you can run on. They are opportunistic. They're going to try to take the ball away for sure. We saw it in Lambeau late November. But if you want to avoid that, you avoid those third and longs. You avoid those situations where you're going to have to ask Mr. Trubisky to sit in the pocket and read the defense. You do that by getting Montgomery going the way you have.
Great stuff. Kevin, Happy New Year. Thank you so much. Enjoy that Northwestern victory in the Citrus Bowl.
All right. Thanks so much, Zach.
You got it. Kevin Fishbane, who covers the Bears for The Athletic. Got a lot of people to thank, none more so than executive producer Rick Camp, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio on this New Year's Day. I'm Zach Zaidman. Stay safe. Stay healthy, and maybe, oh maybe, there'll be more Bears football after Sunday. That's the goal, isn't it? So long. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.